WCV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. This hour, the Supreme Court hearing arguments in a case that will test the limits of federal power. At issue, whether judges would defer to federal agencies' interpretation of a law when the language of the statute is ambiguous. Suspected Long Island, New York serial killer Rex Uhrman now charged with a fourth murder. This woman disappeared in 2007. Suffolk County District Attorney Raymond Tierney says they used cutting-edge technology to gather evidence.
We were awaiting DNA evidence as well as some other evidence through the grand jury. So we concluded our grand jury investigation on the Gilgo 4 and then filed the indictment.
It's one of the biggest protests in Russia since the invasion of Ukraine. Video showing hundreds taking to the streets in the small town of Bay Market, in the Russian Republic of Bashkortostan, after the jailing of a local activist. The Commerce Department says holiday spending helped retail sales rise 0.6% last month. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Democratic law firm in Washington, D.C. is asking the Wisconsin Supreme Court to reconsider the state's congressional map. The Elias Law Group says the court's landmark ruling on the Wisconsin legislature's map last month calls into question Wisconsin's U.S. House districts. Governor Evers says Republican senators were wrong to fire Public Service Commissioner Tyler Huebner yesterday. Senator Brad Paff was himself fired as acting Agriculture Secretary. He says Republicans are playing politics with the governor's appointments.
Rigid partisan ideology accomplishes nothing for the people of this state. And quite frankly, it just demonstrates to them that the government is broken and it does not work.
Republicans point out they've confirmed more than 480 of Evers' appointees. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home. This is news from WISS and WGBW. The ice is getting thicker and more safe on Lake Winnebago and Oshkosh. Ice fishers say they're encouraged by the progress. Temperatures have turned Arctic in the past week after the winter season got off to a mild start. As of yesterday, Asylum Bay had about 6 to 7 inches of ice, but there are still open spots closer to the middle of the lake. The sturgeon spearing season begins in less than a month. We're learning more about a shooting death in Appleton on Christmas Eve now that the criminal complaint is filed. Police say the suspect and the victim got into an argument about cutting in line at a food truck just off College Avenue. Elliot Campbell is charged with first-degree homicide. Elijah Dodson was shot twice in the head. Campbell made his initial court appearance yesterday. Bail is set at $1 million. Campbell is due back in court on the 25th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
The Badgers lose in an upset. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Badgers had not lost to a Big Ten opponent until they faced Penn State and Kane Clary.
Shot clock down to 10, game clock at 44. Clary drives by Wall, pulls, pops, good off the glass. He has been spectacular. Penn State up 6, 34 seconds to play.
Matt LePay with the call. Clary finished with 29 points on the way to an 87-83 win for Penn State over Wisconsin. Badgers head coach Greg Gard.
Obviously the turnovers. I thought early, right from the start, we just got a little frenzied, and that gave them confidence as they were able to jump out to that lead that we could never quite get back where we felt we could get in control of it.
The Badgers host Indiana Friday night. NFL, the Packers will be without backup outside linebacker Kingsley Enagbare after he suffered a knee injury against the Cowboys. Rookie Lucas Van Ness will have to step up as a pass rusher against the 49ers this Saturday night.
I think the more he plays, the better he gets.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The worst of the cold is over, and now wind chills will climb to feeling like near zero. With more clouds building in today, it's acting as a blanket, keeping us warmer. This means by tomorrow, we'll feel our actual temperatures. But still, it's sweater weather, and we don't thaw out until next week. Right now, it's 1 degree.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach with Calvin B. on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Thank you so very much for joining us this morning. Hope you're staying warm. If you just heard our newscast, our civic media meteorologist Brittany Merlot says we passed the worst of it as far as the cold goes.
Yeah.
And by next week, 37 degrees, I think, on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Bring it.
Yeah, I know. It's been rough. And for people who work outside and have to be outside, I applaud you. When I started my car this morning, it made sounds I had never heard before.
Why?
Oh, it was like, baby, you okay? And we park in a garage. So yeah. For all those folks who have to park outside, it's been a rough, rough week.
Yeah, yeah. We got the cars in the garage, too. I haven't even turned my car on since last week.
Oh, you better do that.
I'll be fine. It'll be fine. I've been taking Bridget's car because it's bigger and it warms up faster and can get over the... Because I think I told you yesterday, we didn't get anyone plowing. So I've been using her car just to push...
Smash stuff. It down.
Yeah, that's real. That's why next week, if it gets 37, I'll be able to...
Scrape it off.
Yeah.
844-967-2789. If you ever want to join us, you can call or text 844-967-2789, or you can watch on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Lots of things, as I said, coming up a little bit later in this hour. We're going to talk about how the least productive House
in
least productive Congress in history did actually get something done. They spent $40,000 of taxpayer money for a new accessory, so we'll have details.
Boy, is it nice.
Oh, it's adorable.
Yeah.
We're going to recombobulate with Dan Schaefer at 10:33, talk about the new maps. There have been 7 maps now submitted for redistricting. We'll see how this goes. And I'm very looking forward to having Nick Ramos. He's the executive director for the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Nick Ramos joining us at 11:06 to talk about Final 5 voting. We've done this before, but I still think it's confusing. I still get confused by it.
Absolutely.
And I think it's worth having someone on to explain what this means. And I'm also curious which lawmakers think this is a good idea, and there have to be many who think this is not.
I bet you there are many on both sides of the aisle who are saying,
you want to do what?
No, thank you.
Yeah, you want to do what?
No, thank you.
So that is all coming up. Right now, though, Greg, you saw this, and you are a Kenosha resident, so this is... This is something that's kind of going on in your own backyard.
Yes.
The Kenosha County Board of Supervisors, about 1 o'clock in the morning, did okay a proposal for a new Hard Rock Casino.
Yeah, 10-9 vote. A Hard Rock Casino is on its way to coming, on its way to being built
in Kenosha.
Kenosha. The next steps is going to the federal government as well as the governor. And this is a big step for the Menominee tribe who tried in 2015.
Yep.
To build a, I didn't know this until this morning when I was reading about it. It's always been a Hard Rock Cafe.
Yes.
So they tried building one at the old Dairyland Greyhound track, and that got squashed by various parties. And now they're back, and it's going through. The city council voted for it. My my city councilman sent us all an email saying, based on this information, it looks good for us. It's going to generate, I think, nearly over $300 million for the county.
Wow.
And nearly $500 million for the state. And it will, and he voted for it. And so it was interesting that it did come. I mean, there was a lot of back and forth, hours of back and forth last night. And that's why the vote came in at 1 a.m. this morning.
Yeah.
10-9 vote at the Kenosha County Board of Supervisors.
If you live in the area, if you live in Kenosha or Racine, you're listening on WRJN, perhaps, I would love to know how you feel about this.
Yeah.
Economics aside, you know, that's certainly good that it's going to be bringing in money, but we know that compulsive gambling can be a problem for folks.
Well, also, I mean, there can be people who just see it as an eyesore. I mean, let me just make this perfectly clear, because I know we work for a show and work for a network, and we are not paid, as far as I know, by any of these groups. I don't know how I feel about it, because there are yard signs around my neighborhood that said stop the casino now, and they've been there since we moved there a year and a half ago.
Oh, wow.
And I never got that, like, anxious about it, or like, oh, yes or no. I just feel like it's another business. I do feel it. A Hard Rock Cafe coming to Kenosha seems weird, just because to me, when I think of Hard Rock Cafe, I think of New York and Los Angeles and Orlando and Chicago, and you're like, Kenosha.
Hard Rock Kenosha.
Hard Rock Kenosha. Yeah. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's going to generate jobs to build it. It's going to generate jobs for all the businesses inside, whether the venues, the restaurants, the dealers, hotel workers. I'm here to listen to anyone who says no and tell me why it's a no. It's going to be helpful for the tribe who's been trying to do this
for a long time,
for over a decade now. The 2015 attempt was the attempt. I was working for the city of Racine and was part of a team that like consulted with them as far as working with the interior to say, hey, we are on board with this. What can we do to make this help? We are Racine, but it has effects on Racine County.
Oh, absolutely.
It'll have effects on Racine County, Lake County in Illinois, Kenosha, of course. And they're saying like half of the people coming to that location will be from out of state.
They'll be from Illinois.
Yeah. It does beg the question for me, what made the other tribes change their minds? Is it a deal? Because there was,
there was the opposition from the Potawatomi, right?
Opposition for Potawatomi. And I always thought to myself, I was like, if, you know, let them do it at the Greyhound, the dog track race, and then just make them pay you a consulting fee every year, a percentage, you'll make money. So I would love to know what changed the minds. Maybe it's new leadership that came through the Potawatomi, new, maybe it's because it's Governor Evers. I have no idea. That's what I want to find out in these coming months as we're getting closer and closer, because it looks like it's going to happen. No, there is not enough of a anti-casino campaign that looks like it's going to threaten it. I mean, county board, city council's on board. I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard governor say no, and I'm sure the interior would be like, yeah, let's just do it.
844-967-2789,
844-96-PARTY.
If you live in the Kenosha Racine area or some other communities around where this is going to happen, they're talking about building a Hard Rock Cafe, casino, multi thing, including gambling. Yep. I am not a gambler. I'm cheap.
Neither am I.
So I do not gamble. That's not my thing. I've done it a couple times. I certainly understand the thrill of it.
I mean,
when you hit, but at the same time, I recognize that this is a big problem for some folks. And I think there is always concerns that this could bring other ills as well, including sex trafficking.
Well, sure. I'm not going to say no. But that's been happening since before any casino was
granted.
And I don't hear stories. And this, once again, this is not me fighting on the side of the casino, but like I don't know of any stories coming out of the Ho-Chunk casino or out of the Potawatomi casino of these problems happening. yes, gambling is a addiction to gambling, addiction to anything is a big problem. That's why I hope those who have an addiction will stay away from it. But then there's someone like my 79-year-old mom who could smoke all of you at poker, by the way. She goes and she plays, you know, she plays the low stake video poker. She'll play the tables. She has a good time. She has friends who does. So I don't want to immediately go to the
worst of it.
The worst of it. But it's important to recognize that there can be problems. And that's what I'm talking about. Is, you know, if you live in Kenosha, Racine, and you have more information on this, call us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And tell us your concerns. Sherry, let's see here. We got someone on the live stream. Sherry Minozzi says, I'm glad it's not around here in Horicon. Also adding, hard enough to save money. That's true. That's very, can be very true. And that's part of the reason why I stay away from gambling. Not because I feel like I'm going to fall into the treacherous hole, but I have bills to pay.
Well, right. It's a matter of priority. But as you said too, and my mother loved nickel slots.
Yeah.
She loved nickel slots and she could afford to play nickel slots. It was a great source of entertainment for her. And like you said, I think a lot of seniors will do bus trips and stuff to go to the casino.
Go see a show.
Yep. And so this complex is going to include all of that. Yeah. The proposed right now, it's going to be very close to the freeway.
It's going
to
be Highway 50, which is about a 5-minute drive away from the border. It's literally 7 minutes from my house.
Oh, wow.
It's and that was the thing, is that at one point it was supposed to be at the Dairyland Greyhound.
Which is considerably further east.
Further out in the county.
Yeah.
And it's east, and it's a little more picturesque, and it's not sort of in the way of anything. But this is going to be right at the freeway. It's not going to be in anyone's backyard, I believe. But that's the redevelopment of Wisconsin along the I. They're going to be building those things. You've got, you know, Microsoft is building on the property, buying it from Foxconn. You know, that's just kind of the way of the future. And so, like I said, if you have major problems, let us know. I'd like to know. I wish I had an opinion hard one way or the other. I just don't. To me, it's another business opening.
I think the location is better than the Dairyland. I think it makes sense to put it right next to the freeway.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be close to the cheese factory.
Well, and then, too, it's not disrupting a neighborhood necessarily.
Yeah. And it allows... It allows there to be more development. I will say this. The one thing I do like is that I'm just kind of tired of warehouses being built along that entire freeway.
Be nice to see some activity.
Exactly.
Some actual...
Something else besides another freaking warehouse.
Sherry also checking in says a casino would bring jobs.
It would. Yeah.
It absolutely would. And again, not just dealers and floor bosses and pit bosses, but hotel workers and all kinds of restaurants and all that stuff.
2,000 seat venue. I'm kind of curious who they're going to bring around. I mean, if it's a comedian, I can open for them. Just saying, Hard Rock people, hit me up.
All right. If you want to check in with us anytime, you can call or text at 844-967-2789 or leave a comment on a live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. On the way, they spend $40,000 on what? You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org. That's 800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck. Cal B on the board.
Cal B on the board.
I was going to call him Hot Sweet Cal B or Hot Cal B. I haven't quite landed on
DJ on which Cal one. B.
What do you prefer, Calvin? I don't want to have to. You know, we want to give you something snappy.
I'm not picky. I think a good nickname doesn't come from yourself. Someone has to.
That's very true.
For you. Yes, that's incredible. That is.
You know what? You are wise.
Right.
You are wise beyond your age, my friend. I know so many men who. Tried to anoint themselves with nicknames that just
never worked, ever.
Well,
if you ever have a suggestion for what we should refer to our fabulous producer, Calvin, you can always let us know, 844-967-2789. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter.
You know what else you can do, listening crowd and watching crowd on the live stream? As you know, Matt and Air on Air is a fairly new show. There's still... Yes.
We're still working on some graphics and stuff.
Yeah, but what we do have now is a Facebook page. So you can go to facebook.com/Matt and Air on Air, show title, all one word. Follow us. You'll be able to watch the show from there. We'll live stream the show on that website in the next week, as now we have a Facebook page. And be on the lookout for other social media pages, your exes, formerly Twitters, your Instagrams. Who knows? Maybe we'll get a TikTok account and Jane will be completely in charge of it.
Sweet Cal B will be featured on the Matt Nair on Air TikTok account.
Oh, I'm just thinking like DJ Cal B.
DJ Cal B.
Cal B sandwich.
So many possibilities.
Yeah. Like I'm thinking like a cabbage based one now. Ooh, I like it. I'm going to keep thinking of stuff.
All right. Yeah. We are moving along. Dan Schaefer, by the way, is going to be here at 10:33, and we're going to talk about the new maps that have been submitted.
And I have a bone pick with Dan.
Okay, well, that's fine. You can bring it up with Dan. We did want to point out, though, that the current Congress is the least productive Congress, essentially, in history.
Do you know why? Because nobody wants to work.
Well, they just haven't done anything worth noting other than I think they renamed a couple post offices and stuff. And we still, let's not forget, we still have a government shutdown looming before too long. And they did, however, manage to do one thing, Greg Buck.
What's that?
I don't think anyone listening would have guessed this in a million years. Everything going on, screaming about the deficit, money, money, money. What did our GOP-led House of Representatives do?
I wish I had a drum roll around.
They spent $40,000 replacing their current green House member pins with blue ones.
She didn't stutter. She's not wrong, folks. $40,000 of your taxpayer dollars to replace the security pins they wear. That allow them to get into...
Well, they don't have to wear them.
Oh, really?
It is not required. No.
The story I read made it seem like this is like...
It makes it easier if they wear their house pin. It makes it easier for the Capitol Police to identify them. But you don't... There is no requirement that you have to wear this pin.
One of these folks
said that, oh, yeah, I keep all my pins in a special case. So you don't have to wear them.
$40,000.
And... Sure, it's a drop in the bucket when we're talking about trillions of dollars and all of those things. But there are a couple of things that irk me about this.
There's more than one thing that irks me about this. Go on, though.
So they were supposed to continue with the current pins until the next election.
Correct. They last 2 years.
Yes, they last 2 years. So they were supposed to wait until 2024, and then they could do another house, a new design, which in articles I've read is a far more complicated process than you would think.
Yeah.
Because you have 435 people who all want to weigh in on their opinion. And apparently there was a pin that they came up with for the House members after 9/11 that was red, white, and blue. Super controversial. The arguments over this, and it looks like an entrance pin to Disneyland.
I don't want a button that promotes France.
But now they like the blue one. They didn't like the green one. They couldn't wait until after the 2024 election, which is when they would typically be issued. They had to have them now.
And, you know, I get what you're saying, and you're right. And by the way, Sherry, who's been commenting all morning, she just wrote one word, shame.
It's shame. Just, come on, you guys.
But you know what, though? $40,000 might be a drop in the bucket, inside the bucket to our Congress, to our budget. $40,000 is a middle-class paycheck.
Absolutely.
That is house payments. That is car payments. That's schooling. That's all sorts of things.
Childcare.
That is things that... could you imagine walking with someone saying, here's $40,000 in cash. Do what you need to do with it. They would probably start weeping in front of you because people need money. They need to survive and live. So, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't just see it as $40,000. I see it as $40,000 of our money.
For a new accessory.
For a brand new sweet pan.
844-967-2789. Cindy from Appleton joining us. Good morning, Cindy. Thanks so much for calling in. What do you want to say?
Hey, Cindy.
Well, first of all, I agree with you. This is shameful. And second of all, I mean, I don't know how much these pins cost per pin, but why in the heck can't they buy their own flipping pins? Yeah. If I want some kind of an accessory pin, I have to pay for it. Why should I have to pay for their accessories when they make probably a lot more money yearly than I do, and they do a hell of a lot less work than I do?
You make a great point, Cindy, and all I can think of is people who are hairstylists. They have to buy their own scissors and combs and blow dryers and all of those things. There's all kinds of professions where you are required to provide that stuff for yourself as part of your job. So, yeah, Cindy, I don't know why they couldn't shell out whatever it breaks down to per pin.
$91.
$91. Oh, well, you know, that's too much.
Yeah.
They couldn't possibly swing that, Cindy.
They're millionaires.
Money's tight.
They're using insider information, Cindy, to buy up stocks that they're investigating currently. They don't have time to spend their money on
a pin.
They let us do that.
Thank you, Cindy. Really appreciate the call.
We should get a pin. We should each get a pin.
A Matt and Aaron air pin?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. And then we get two pins. You get a pin for your show and then a pin for Civic Media. Hey,
Sage, we need $40,000 for pins.
Higher ups whom I respect and adore. You're all very capable and handsome and beautiful people. Can we get specialized pins for the show?
We can always dream.
It'll be
Matt Nair, MOA merch.
Oh.
MOA merch. We're working on
it. You can't spell merch without ma.
Sure. Dan Schaefer will be here after the news. We are going to recombobulate and talk about the 7 maps that have been submitted. It'll be interesting. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
If I had $1 million, well, I'd buy you some art, a Picasso or a Garfunkel. If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million, well, I'd buy you a monkey. Haven't you always wanted a monkey? If I had $1 million, I'd buy your love. If I had $1 million. 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 I'd be rich.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is one step closer to letting gas stations and other businesses build their own electric vehicle chargers. A bill that passed the state Senate yesterday would change Wisconsin regulations to allow it. About 15% of Wisconsin's children are obese. State lawmakers are introducing 5 bills to help kids get in shape. One of them would require 180 minutes of physical activity in schools through 8th grade.
Our schools are already required to do Phi-Ed, but instead of focusing sheerly on the academic section, perhaps on what is tennis, we're going to actually get our kids playing tennis and moving as much as possible.
Representative William Penterman is a member of the Speaker's Childhood Obesity Task Force. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home. This is news from WISS and WGBW. It's a sign of just how cold it's been this week. Some kids in Ashwaubenon got off from school early yesterday thanks to frozen pipes. Parkview Middle School sent students home at 12:45. A Facebook post let families know that buses would take children home early. Parkview was the only school affected. Kids around Wisconsin have missed a fair amount of school due to last week's snowstorms and this week's dangerous cold. The Outagamie County District Attorney says Grand Chute police were not responsible for the death of a shoplifting suspect 2 weeks ago. Police were called to the Fleet Farm store on West Wisconsin Avenue on the 3rd. The suspect sped away, lost control of their vehicle, and crashed it on North Blue Mound Drive. District Attorney Mindy Templis now says the incident does not constitute an officer-involved death as state law defines it. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Badgers lose in an upset.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Badgers had not lost to a Big Ten opponent until they faced Penn State and Kane Clary.
Shot clock down to 10. Game clock at 44. Clary drives by Wall, pulls, pops. Good off the glass. He has been spectacular. Penn State up 6, 34 seconds to play.
Matt LePay with the call. Clary finished with 29 points on the way to an 87-83 win for Penn State over Wisconsin. Badgers head coach Greg Gard.
Obviously the turnovers. I thought early, right from the start, we just got a little frenzied, and that gave them confidence as they were able to jump out to that lead that we can never quite get back where we felt we could get in control of it.
The Badgers host Indiana Friday night. NFL, the Packers will be without backup outside linebacker Kingsley Enagbare after he suffered a knee injury against the Cowboys. Rookie Lucas Van Ness will have to step up as a pass rusher against the 49ers this Saturday night.
I think the more he plays, the better he gets.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. The worst of the cold is over, and now wind chills will climb to feeling like near zero. With more clouds building in today, it's acting as a blanket, keeping us warmer. This means by tomorrow, we'll feel our actual temperatures. But still, it's sweater weather, and we don't thaw out until next week. Right now, it's 1 degree.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning.
And the talk of Green Bay all day long.
1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Good morning, Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. So happy to have you with us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Kid Cal B on the board, broadcasting live from downtown Waukesha.
Kid Cal B.
What do you think? We're trying to come up with a nickname for our producer, Calvin, so we're taking suggestions. 844-967-2789. You can always call or text 844-96-PARTY or leave a message on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. A little adjustment for our regular segment with Dan Schaefer. He wasn't here yesterday, but he is joining us now from the recombobulation area. Good morning, Dan. Thanks so much for joining us. How are you doing?
Good morning, everyone. Doing well. Glad to be here on a Wednesday. It's freezing here in Milwaukee. I'm ready to be past this terrible weather, but always good to be with you all. Even Greg.
I was going to say we need to clear the air on this before we go any further because there's some friction this morning. Tell us what happened.
Oh, good morning, Dan Schaefer of the recombobulation.
I'm not gonna be ignored, Dan.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Calvin. A little early, but you're great. Thank you very much. You know, there's a tradition, people, whenever people go to the Mitchell International Airport.
There is an area there.
There's an area called the recombobulation area. I was at that area on January 10, 2024, about to board a flight to Atlanta. And I decided, because I finally remembered, to snap a photo, and I tweeted it. And I tagged Dan, and I got no love from him.
He's deeply wounded, Dan.
I'm deeply wounded. I said, and I even said, I'll bet this one, pointing, like looking at the recombobulation area, I said, I'll bet this one hasn't won a bunch of awards, because you've won a bunch of awards, Dan.
Now I have to look this up, because I genuinely missed it. I was not trying to...
No?
I was not trying to throw shade over at Greg. I like to annoy you with bad puns on this in this weekly segment.
Apparently, you like to cut me deep too.
I genuinely missed that. As you know, January 10th is also my daughter's birthday, so I was a little distracted that day. So I apologize, Greg. We'll clear the air.
We'll get this cleared up.
No beef with you.
We'll get this cleared up.
Okay. I'm the one who declares no beef, for I am the beefed.
Moving along.
All right, forgive you.
Moving along. On Friday, there were 7 maps that were submitted. And it's been so interesting to see, Dan, some of the reactions to this. And I think my favorite is from, I believe it's Wisconsin Right Now, where they essentially said the maps that the Democrats have submitted are malicious. They're malicious.
Yeah.
There
certainly has been some hysterics in response to these map submissions from folks on the right who are realizing that they have lived in an insulated bubble of unfair, bloated redistricting maps that have given them these outsized majorities for more than 12 years. In Wisconsin, and you know, the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled those maps unconstitutional. They said we have to take partisan impact into effect as you submit new maps. So we had 7 maps submitted last Friday. We've been discussing them. Me and my fellow maps nerds at the recombobulation area have a discussion thread going to take a look at those maps and really get into the weeds. John Johnson of Marquette University has done a tremendous public service breaking down these maps in a number of different ways, kind of projecting, you know, what the makeup would be if you projected the 2022 outcome onto these maps. And, you know, so many of these Republicans reacting to this are saying, oh, it's a Democratic gerrymander. They just want to give themselves the majority. Well, none of the Democratic maps submitted would have, if you projected the 2022 outcome onto these new maps, would give Democrats a majority.
There's a trick there. No, there's a trick there, Dan. They're trying to trick us, and it's just gonna, because they're gonna do what we did, and they can't do that.
Yeah, exactly. a lot of projection going on here.
Yeah,
I must say, you know, talking. I think even Robin Voss yesterday, there was an AP story saying it, the headline is Wisconsin Republican leader slams Democratic proposed election maps as quote political gerrymander. Well, isn't that the pot calling the kettle black, right? Absolutely. I mean, we have the guy who has championed the most extreme political gerrymander of any state in the country for the past decade, now considering maps that still give Republicans a majority, a political gerrymander. It's pretty ridiculous.
It's not enough of a majority. And every time Wisconsin right now tweets, I always imagine they have a dictionary open up to get all of the words that make them show how frustrated they are as they wave their finger at the air, shouting at clouds.
Malicious is a good word.
That's a good word. It's a great word.
I mean, when in at least one of these maps, as I understand it, Dan, there will be incumbents who have to run against each other.
Yep, that's the case with you know, most new maps. You know, the thing is, we had, you know, this redistricting process from a couple of years ago. You know, at the end of each decade, we have the census, we get new maps based on the results of that census. And last time we had this ridiculous least change principle to kind of bake in the gerrymander from the 2010s into the maps for the 2020s. And so there wasn't that much change on the maps. You know, there was change in a number of districts. They drew Sarah Rodriguez a new district, and she ended up running for lieutenant governor, so it wouldn't end up mattering. Drew Don Vruwink into a former Democratic state representative Don Vruwink into a new district with a Republican advantage. So this types of thing did happen in the last one, but it was much the same map as the last one. So it didn't really have as much of that. And also, you know, that's not part of the redistricting process to consider the home location, the home address of individual legislators. It's not really about that. If you live in a different district, that you're going to represent your neighbors. You're going to represent the people who live around you in a compact and contiguous district, as the Wisconsin's state constitution calls for. So, you know, there's just so many hysterics on the right, and it just screams to me as just like they're freaking out because they're losing their unearned grip on power in the state of Wisconsin.
We are recombobulating with Dan Schaefer. You can always text or call at 844-967-2789, talking about the seven newly drawn legislative maps that were submitted on Friday. And I think it's important for people to remember as well, Dan, and I don't have these numbers off the top of my head, but the reason why we want new maps is because the vote has been so ridiculously lopsided, where Democrats will get, 64% of the vote and end up with only, you know, it doesn't add up.
Yeah, this, you know, Wisconsin is a 50-50 purple state, and we have so many of our statewide elections are decided by decimal points. You know, we had the 2022 midterms had the closest Senate race in more than 100 years. Four of our last six presidential races were decided by less than 1%. We have some extraordinarily close statewide elections in Wisconsin, but since this gerrymander came into place in 2011, Republicans have held more than 60% of the seats in the Wisconsin state legislature. You know, and right now, you know, they drew themselves a path to a supermajority. They have a supermajority in the state Senate. They're just two seats shy of that in the state legislature. That just doesn't reflect the type of state that Wisconsin is. Now, I'll grant that the political geography of the state probably gives Republicans a slight advantage on the state legislative maps. Fair maps advocates for years have conceded this. That advantage is, according to those numbers from fair maps advocates, about 2%. So Republicans maybe have about a 2% geographical advantage on the state legislative maps. Right now, what they have is a 16% advantage on those maps, which is a clear, extreme political gerrymander. Now, I'm going to go through real quick with you the seven submissions.
Great.
And how they would project in the state assembly if you mapped the 2022 results onto the new maps submissions. And this is all, again, I'm referencing work from John Johnson of the Marquette University Lubar Center. And so the map submitted by Tony Evers, 46 Democratic, 53 Republican. The map submitted by Law Forward and the number of petitioners who brought this case to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, 49 Democratic, 50 Republican. The legislative Republicans map, so which is basically the same as the current map, only kind of fixed for the contiguity question. 35 Democratic, 64 Republican.
Huh.
Weird.
See if you can spot the outlier in the
Columbia's
map.
Sounds like a reboot.
We'll keep going. Another map submitted by a group of mathematicians called Fast Map. 47 Democratic, 52 Republican. Okay. Senate Democrats, 46 Democratic, 53 Republican.
Well,
the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, the right wing organization, we're familiar with a lot of their work across the state. 39 Democratic, 60 Republican. So even their map doesn't go as far as the legislative Republicans and the current map currently does. And another group that had petitioned the state that they didn't have their case taken by the Wisconsin Supreme Court, 48 Democratic, 51 Republican. What's the outlier there? If we look at all of these different seven maps submissions, what's the outlier?
The Republican legislative map and the...
It's the Republican legislative map.
Yeah, that's I'm shocked, Dan Schaefer. And it just is so malicious. It's just malicious.
It is. And, even the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty map recognized that the 16% advantage is not reflective of Wisconsin. They gave, Republicans about 11% advantage, which, is probably not quite reflective of the state electorate again, but they had, there are some qualities to their maps. I must say that have some positive attributes. They tried not to split as many municipalities or counties, as some of the other maps. The map that splits the most municipalities, counties, and wards. I'm going to give you one guess.
Oh, wait, let me...
It's
the GOP
one. It's the GOP map.
Yep, you're correct. You guys are on it. You guys are on it. You must read the recombobulation area.
I subscribe to.
There, of these seven maps, there is one outlier, and it is the legislative Republican map.
Well, and we've talked about this for a long time, and we talked about this last year, and I believe from the bottom of my bitter and jaded heart that... the vast majority of Wisconsinites, Democrats, Republicans, and independents just want a fair fight. They don't want an advantage for either side or any side. If we didn't all agree on this, or so many of us agree on this, Justice Janet wouldn't have been elected by such an incredible margin.
Yeah, I think the fact that they couldn't pull their mustache twisting ways to get rid of her or to throw an election, the fact that they kind of gave in, and the GOP's doing their thing with the maps, but even like what you're saying, Dan, with Wisconsin Institute of Law and Liberty, their map even kind of says the jig is up. We can't keep doing it. It's been a dozen years. Even our version is a little bit nicer than their version.
Not by a whole lot,
but like it, even I feel like Wisconsin Law and Liberty's version does recognize to a smidge that the maps are crazy.
Well, and when you lay it out like that, Dan, it's just so valuable to look at those numbers, because I really just think, again, it can be confusing for people. It's confusing for me. So to be able to lay it out like that, and here's what this plan does, and this plan does, and this plan does, is really, really useful. We are going to continue our conversation and keep recombobulating with Dan Schaefer. You can always join us if you want to call in or text at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
We all make resolutions this time of year. And let's face it, most of them won't stick. But here's one that's not only easy to keep, but it'll help you feel healthier all year long. Navage. Navage provides quick, drug-free nasal relief by washing saline in one nostril, around the back of the nose, and out of the other nostril. This time of year, when everyone is sick, Navage helps by sucking out germs, bacteria, and viruses trapped in our noses that cause us to feel miserable. And come allergy season, it does the same with dust, pollen, and other allergens. And unlike medications that can take time to help, if they're effective at all, Navage helps treat congestion symptoms in seconds flat, without drugs. This New Year's, resolve to use drug-free Navage to help you breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier all year long. Ask for Navage at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Target, or find us online at Navage.com. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Buck, Hot Kel B on the board.
Ugh, no.
All right, we're working on it. It's a work in progress.
I was trying to do the roast beef thing, and that made it, no.
We're taking your suggestions for a nickname for Calvin, too, if you want to check in at 844-967-2789. And a reminder, there is a big football game on Saturday night. Packers at the Niners, 5 p.m. broadcast.
Tonight? Did you say tonight or Saturday?
Saturday night.
Oh, I was like.
Saturday night?
It's all right for fighting.
Sure. Packers 49ers game Saturday night. If you want to catch the game, you can listen. We can't stream the Packers games, but you can listen on a number of our stations, including WRCO in Richland Center, 100.9 FM, WRJN in Racine, and Kenosha 98.1 FM. So if you want to listen to the game on Saturday night, maybe you're going to be at a wedding, maybe you're going to be at some sport, other, you know, your kid's sporting event, download the app. And then you can listen.
You can listen to the
live broadcasts. We are recombobulating with Dan Schaefer, and we're talking about the 7 maps that were just submitted on Friday. What is the next step now, Dan? What's going to happen next?
Well, so right now we are we're got those map submissions, and I think there was another step this week where the parties involved had to share those submissions and kind of go through it, the data that they had shared. The next kind of big date on the big Wisconsin redistricting timeline is February 1st. That is when the two consultants appointed to analyze these maps will weigh in. They will review these 7 proposals, take a look at, you know, how they match up with the court's criteria from that 4-3 ruling from late last year. The courts obviously ruled on the contiguity question, but also said that they will take partisan impact into account. So they will review that on February 1st. The parties will respond to that review on February 8th. And then we will have kind of a mad dash between then and March 15th. And so March 15th is the date where the Wisconsin Elections Commission has said that new maps must be in place in order for those new maps to be in effect for the 2024 state legislative election. So there's going to be a lot happening on this. The lawyers are going to be busy for the next 2 months in the state of Wisconsin. As we go through the rest of this process.
Now, you had mentioned at the beginning of the first segment, Dan, the person who you had been following, who has been breaking down these maps. Is there somewhere people can find him?
Yeah, John Johnson of the Marquette University Lubar Center. The Marquette University Law School has a blog where you can find that out. And we've also added that to our discussion thread at the Recombobulation Area.
Great.
Which you can find at the recombobulationarea.news. You can also find links to all of those individual maps within our discussion thread. And you can take a look at, you know, how they might reflect your community. You know, if you're thinking about running for office, you know, that's something to consider too. Like if the maps have changed and you might want to consider getting into the race, you know, now's the time to be having those conversations.
Texter said, well, he had pointed out that Robin Voss said that this is a Democratic gerrymander. And Andrew from Maine texting in, well, Mr. Popcorn would be an expert in recognizing gerrymandering. And I guess we do have to give him a tip of the hat for that. If anybody knows what gerrymandering looks like, it's Robin Voss,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Voss, even when they submitted those maps that we maps that were just struck down, he even admitted during questioning from Democratic legislators there, who I think Kelda Royce was the one who asked, you know, it was partisanship taken into account, and Voss said something along the lines of, "Well, it's a constitutional allowance. We can." So he is more or less admitted during that legislative session, which, by the way, had zero people speaking in support of those maps, even though there was a 9-hour public hearing where, you know, people from all over the state came to voice their opposition to the state's gerrymandered maps. Nobody actually voiced support for those maps. So
Really remarkable. That is remarkable that after all those hours of testimony, not one average Wisconsinite came forward and said, yeah, this is great. We need these. This is what I want. And again, this goes back to my contention that the vast majority of us, regardless of political party, we want it to be fair. And we want it to be a fair fight. And I will always laugh about the calling this malicious. These maps are malicious. Oh, get over
yourself.
Well,
that's
work a little harder for your seat then, right?
Well, that's what they always do. Yeah. It's like whenever they'll get in our face and say, you just can't take it. You can't handle the America and blah, blah, blah. And then the moment you get in their face, like, well, these maps are wrong. They're like, how dare you?
I have the vapors.
I cannot believe you came to me with such disregard.
If you ever want.
Well, I mean, here's the thing that you touched on a little bit here is that I think Wisconsinites want competition. I mean, people want to see people compete for their votes. And so many of the maps and these new submissions have so many more competitive races that would project to be, you know, within the 10-point margin. You know, when I do my preview at the recombobulation area, taking a look at every last race, I previewed all 116 races on the ballot in the midterms. There were not that many of those races that were projected to be all that competitive. You know, part of that is just the polarization of the state. You know, there are some very red areas of the state and some very blue areas of the state. But there's also a lot that are more in the middle. And I think that was really not reflected in these current maps that were just packed and cracked to show, you know, that to give one party a certain advantage. And I think we're going to have more races where we're going to have Republicans and Democrats competing for votes of independence in the state of Wisconsin, of which I believe there are many.
And
so I think that's going to be, if we get these new maps in time for the 2024 election, which I think right now is the most likely outcome, that we do have new maps for this election this year, we're going to have more competition and it's going to be really exciting.
And as you said too, Dan, hopefully this will encourage more people to look at seriously mounting a run in districts where it simply would not have been possible before. Make sure you subscribe to the incredible and award-winning Recombobulation Area. Dan Schaefer, thank you so very much. You will be back with us next Tuesday at 10:30.
Absolutely.
Sounds great. News is coming up next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Less calories and fat, and oh so delicious. It's what every light bread wants to be. Leave it to the bakers of Village Hearth to have the perfect recipes that pack goodness and flavor into every package while still keeping it trim. With Village Hearth light bread and buns, you can lighten up on the calories and fat without losing out on the great taste. There's simply more to savor and nothing to sacrifice. With our light wheat,
light 12 grain and light Italian bread and buns, there's a light, tasty favorite for everyone in the family. Village Hearth, baking our best for you.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer.